In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Might be a little briefer homily today, which might be merciful for you. The Good Shepherd. The persevering shepherd, the committed shepherd, the faithful shepherd. You know, at least in the Novus Ordo readings during Easter, you have this very interesting little, I wouldn't call it schizophrenia, but it can feel that way. The gospel is up here with the Gospel of John. It's very ethereal. You know, Jesus speaks, I am the Father, are one, so on and so forth. It's just very, very lofty. And at the same time, you got all the Acts of the Apostles, and they're just slugging it out. They're getting thrown in prison, right? They're getting beat up. You know, you've got this going on. And you might say, the Lord seems very distant from all the cares of these first apostles and all their suffering. He's up here in the Gospel of John, floating, just floating. And there they are, you know, in the mud of trying to spread the gospel in the early church. So you might wonder, where's the Good Shepherd? A little brain teaser for you. At 7:30 or so a.m. on a Sunday morning. Let's assume for the moment the apostles at the Last Supper have extra Eucharist and they reserve it in the tabernacle in the upper room. Let's just assume that. The Lord marches to his crucifixion. At the moment of death, when the Lord gives up his spirit, what happens to that Eucharist reserved in the tabernacle? Or as an alternative, what if one of the apostles celebrated Mass in the upper room at the very moment of the crucifixion? What would happen? No need to worry. The brain teaser has been answered by St. Thomas Aquinas. You might have thought that, and that is indeed the case. When Jesus confects the Eucharist at the Last Supper, the sacrificial immolation in the offering of the Eucharist is never more than the physical Christ who is present. So, at the Last Supper, you have Christ's mortal body and blood present under the two Eucharistic species of bread and wine, and in concomitance as we call it, natural concomitance, the blood is with the body under the species of bread, the body is with the blood under the species of wine, and by natural concomitance, his soul is in each, and by supernatural concomitance, his divinity is with each. I've set the stage. They march off, Jesus is crucified. At the moment of his death, the Eucharist dies in the tabernacle. It doesn't suffer violence, it's a sacramental presence. But just as Christ dies on the cross, the Eucharist dies in the tabernacle, meaning that under the species of bread now, there is only the body, because in death, the body and the blood are separated. If they reserved the Blessed Sacrament under the form of wine, normally we don't do that, but if they had, under the species of wine, there would be only the precious blood. The soul is departed and is in the limbo of the dead. Christ's human soul is in the limbo of the dead, preaching to the souls, the fathers, in the limbo of the fathers. But his divinity is there with each, and so you have just the precious body under the form of bread, and just the precious blood under the form of wine reserved in the tabernacle in the upper room. At the moment of the resurrection, what happens to the reserved Blessed Sacrament? Suddenly,
the body and blood come together under the form of bread, the body and blood come together in the form of wine, the human soul is joined, and the divinity remains. The reason we don't think of that is because for 2,000 years, his glorious body has been present under the Eucharist every time we celebrate the Mass, as we will today. But during that short period of time, there is no way the Christ's presence in the sacrament is any more than what he is. The mortal Jesus prior to death, during his death, it is a dead Jesus, and after the resurrection, it's the glorious Jesus which we celebrate. Now, why do I bring this up? Because he's always present with us. The Good Shepherd is 15 feet from me right now in his glorious body. You might wonder, why did he use two species? Why didn't he just use bread? Or why didn't he just use wine? Why did he use two? Just to make it more complicated to get the materials to have celebrate Mass? Why two species? Right? Because the species, the bread and the wine, merely at their level of symbols, symbolize for us at Mass the separation of his body and blood, the sacrifice, right? Because his real presence for us is the glorious body, but the elements of bread and wine symbolize the separation of body and blood for us. You might notice towards after the Eucharistic prayer, after the Roman canon, there's the little commingling where I fraction the host, and I make a sign of the cross over the chalice, and I drop a little fraction of the consecrated host into the blood. That's because that symbolizes, merely symbolizes, that now you're going to receive the glorified Christ under the form of the Eucharist. So we celebrate the Mass today. It's good to contemplate that significant Eucharistic presence. The Good Shepherd is here. The Good Shepherd is here for us. You will consume the resurrection in a few moments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.